The readings for the third Sunday of Easter formed interconnected circles of meaning. We begin with the second reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. As we too proclaim, "Amen," to the Lamb, the one worthy to receive power, praise, and glory forever, seated at the right hand of God, Son of God, raised from the dead, that we too might be glorified. We recall that John was exiled to the island of Patmos for proclaiming the message of Jesus. And it was precisely during his exile that he received powerful visions of the Lamb of God, powerful instruction about this divine one who had given his life for the sake of all humanity and for all of creation. John was specifically instructed to write the visions down, to write them down so others too would come to know and understand the true identity of the Lamb of God. And it is for us this very same vision that we are given, to write upon our own hearts in order that we see and we live out of and we live within the very Lamb of God whom we worship. It is this vision impressed upon our minds that sustains us and empowers us, that leads us into the light of all that is good and holy, of all that is touched by God in the universe. With this vision upon our hearts and in our minds, let us now turn to the Gospel of John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered, "No." So Jesus said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to put it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon," said of John, "do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when Jesus had said this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." The Gospel of John takes the vision of Revelation and places it into flesh and blood. This glorious one, the Lamb of God, seated on the throne with the Divine One, is discovered most powerfully in the heart and soul of human beings. For a third time, Jesus comes to his disciples and reveals himself to them in the ways in which they are most familiar. In ordinary ways. In the ways in which they live their lives day by day. And maybe it is the appearance of this ordinariness and not the vision of the glorified one on the throne that challenges us to awaken to the divine in our world. Jesus comes to the disciples as fishermen. Their lifelong career, their work, that to which they retreated because their dream of a new Israel seemed still, even after seeing Jesus two times, the dream still seemed far beyond reach. He reveals himself again in the meals, in the sharing of the bread and the fish. He reveals himself in relationship. Once again, his gift and his grace and his offering of forgiveness and reconciliation to Peter, to one who had betrayed him. No small work of forgiveness. Jesus reveals himself again also in his sense of being able to begin anew, again and again, each day, each moment. He reveals himself to the disciples, sending them out again and commissioning them and inviting them into the fullness of his life. Come and follow me. And in me, the full purpose, the true purpose, the glorious purpose of your life will become known to you. Yes, it is in the ordinary. The ordinary become extraordinary of our lives, where we find the Lamb of God seated on the throne, working in and through us, healing our own lives, building us up, strengthening us so that we too might offer his love to others. And so we now turn to the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismiss them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. We see very clearly in this act of the apostles the effect of the relationship of Jesus with his disciples upon the acts of their own lives. The effect of Jesus' teaching, the effect of Jesus' sending and giving his very spirit into the heart of his disciples, that they too begin to act and live out of the same power that is manifest the Lamb of God on the throne of God in heaven, the one announced by John in his vision, incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, teaching and preaching and passing into the spirit, the heart, and soul of his disciples by the very Holy Spirit of God. It is this oneness in who we are in Jesus as followers, as disciples of Jesus, that we come to know the fullness and the purpose of human life. And again, it is all taking place in the midst of what we often perceive as very mundane, ordinary, and sometimes joyful and sometimes tragic situations. The shootings and the deaths at Virginia Tech this past week has certainly brought to the forefront of our lives the power of violence, the challenge of evil in our world, pulling probably at the very belief in God. It was said that many of the students at Virginia Tech are questioning, where was God? Where is God? It's the question we always ask. And not so simple an answer, possibly. However, today's scriptures, this third Sunday of Easter, gives us a vision by which we can begin to speak to the healing, to the suffering, to the tragedy. In the midst of what seemed to be an insane and senseless event. We have the likes of Professor Levi Lebrescu, who sacrificed his own life in order to protect and save his students. The man who survived the Holocaust to give his life for young people, for his friends. And it was this single act of bravery that set the world in motion, an international outpouring of respect, of admiration, of gratitude for this simple act of heroism, seemingly simple, on a seemingly ordinary day, in the seemingly ordinary lives of young people, of families, interrupted by great tragedy. The world knows of this act of courage. Why? How did this happen? How could it be? At the center of every human person, says Jesus, is this glorious Spirit of God. And when called forth, will do and perform profound acts of courage, of love, of kindness, and goodness. The Spirit of this resurrected one gives us the hope, gives us the courage, gives us the strength to sit with the difficult questions and the healing, and yes, to even find purpose. So as we celebrate again this time of Easter, may we take to heart John's vision of the Lamb of God sitting on the throne, worthy of all praise and honor, and that Lamb of God embodied in Jesus, our teacher, our master, the Spirit given to us on the sandy beach of a seashore, in the midst of cleaning fish, in the midst of eating breakfast, in the midst of reconciliation and forgiveness and healing, making it all possible, that we too might rejoice, that we know the Spirit given to us to proclaim with our lives and our words the glorious good news of Jesus the Christ.